About Easter, I'm very excited about being here and us being able to invite friends. And we have invitations for you to take. And we were going to put them in the bulletin, but we don't want to waste them. So if you want to take them and you want to invite somebody, then take them. Here's the deal. People don't come to church on Easter because nobody invites them. So just invite people. And why do I want you to invite people? Because we want more people, we want to get more money, we want to build the kingdom. No. I want very much to introduce people to my friend Jesus. I met him a long time ago. And he keeps showing me a different side. And it's just stunning. I'm overwhelmed with his goodness. I'm overwhelmed with his beauty. I'm overwhelmed with his mercy. And I like it for people to meet him. I have friends down in Huntington Beach that I go out with. I'll be going out with them tonight. So I need to get home and take a nap because they go out late. I'm in bed long before they go out. But you know, I love being with them, and they love being with me, and they don't know why, but I do. I know what's attractive to them is that through me, God is loving them, and God is saying to them, "I love you," and that's a good thing. And so, that's why we want people here on Easter. It's an opportunity for us to invite people and expose them to the gospel. And so I would love to see this whole place full. I'd love for it to be terribly uncomfortable and confusing for you because there are so many people here. And I know that if that happens, that you'll do all things without murmuring or complaining because that's just the way you are. Amen? I want to talk today about a verse in the Bible that's been stuck in my mind I've pondered it and thought about it for many, many years, and I've taught on it many, many times. But it's now becoming even more revealed, profound to me. And it's just a sentence. It's 1 John 2:20, and it's a reckless statement, a ridiculous statement that the Apostle John makes to the church in Asia Minor. And he says, "You have an anointing from the Holy One, you know all things. You have an anointing from the Holy One, you know all truth." And I've got it like in 25 different translations. And you know what it says? You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know the truth. What is he, nuts? I mean, that means like everybody can hear from God for themselves and just, you know, do whatever they think he's saying. Yes and no. Yes, but it has to be tested. It has to be weighed. It has to be considered. If God's telling you something he's not telling anybody else in the world, it's not because you're so unique and you're special, because you're nuts. There are people that hear voices, and a lot of times it's a psychosis. There's something wrong with them. And so you have to test what God's saying to you. By what? By sharing it with others and others back and forth. And if it's the Lord, it will be confirmed. It will be confirmed by two or three witnesses, and it will be confirmed by everybody. You know, when God speaks, he speaks to a lot of people, a whole lot of people. Remember Elijah when he was in the cave and he was complaining because he was the only one? And the Lord said, you know, bro... In the New English Translation, it says, "You know, bro," he said, "I got 1,000 more like you." So whenever we feel like we're alone, we're the only ones, just remember, there are lots and lots of people like you, and you're not seeing them, you're not hearing them, you're not recognizing them. But God speaks to a lot of people. So I mean, this verse is like reckless because the context that he's saying it. He's saying to a church that's under persecution. He's saying to a church that's hearing lies. He's saying to a church that's hearing from Christians that are deceived and non-Christians who are deceived at the same time. He's hearing from Christians that are saying that there's a special place that only I have in God. God tells me his secrets. I go to a special realm. No. That's Gnosticism. God does not keep his secrets from us. He makes those things known to us because we have the Holy Spirit and you know all things. You know the truth. So, how come we're not hearing it? There are reasons for that. I've kind of went through a thing since my stroke where I'm trying to hear. Well, Don and I went to a conference that kind of challenged us both, but you know, I'm just trying to hear what God's saying. You know what I have to do? I have to turn off the radio. I'm a sports addict. I'm a sports nut. You know, in terms of listening to all the stuff that's going on, so I listen to sports radio all the time. And like over the last 4 or 5 weeks, I just turned it off. I'm just turning all the noise off, all the white noise. And there's lots of white noise in this world. And these people didn't have that. They got up when the sun came up, and they worked hard all day, and they went to bed when the sun came down. They didn't turn on the news. They didn't listen to a podcast. They weren't watching something on TV. They were just living their life. And they were quiet. Their lives weren't full of noise. Do you recognize what I'm saying? Is your life filled with noise? Is there a lot of white noise? Well, identify what the white noise is for you and turn it off. Oh, there's a second part of this. Turn it off and listen. Because God is speaking to you. God wants to talk to you and you and you and you. He wants to confirm his word in us and through us. And so we share with one another what God's saying to us. I've had 4 years ago, Carol Wimber, who's the wife, widow of John Wimber, I was at her house and she pulled me aside and she said, "Carl, it's happening." And it was a very pensive phrase. And she goes, "It's happening." And she goes, "Just like 40 years ago, God's doing something. It's happening again." And you know what? I'm seeing the indication that that's happening. Do you know, I live down by the ocean. I never go in it. I wouldn't even consider going in it. But I like to look at it. And I liken the church to the ocean. I kind of think, like, there are people that show up down at the ocean. At, like Newport, there's a, you know, a place you can park, and there's a barrier between you and the sand. Then there's the sand. So some people just park there. They never get out of their car. They sit there, and they're reading the newspaper or whatever. And then other people get out of the car, and they sit on the wall, and they watch everything. Then the other people go out on the sand and put something out, lay down. There's some people that go to the edge of the water, and they start playing a little bit in the water. And then there are the idiots that go running in the water, and they get you all wet and everything, and you're like, "Gosh dang it!" Because you had no intention of getting all wet and cold, but they're just diving in, and then the worst, they're going, come on, go in!" I'm like, "Yeah, just come here for a second, walk into this." So I kind of see the church that way. I see people in different places. And it's really okay to be in different places. But you know what's going to happen? I'm speaking this prophetically. There's going to be a time, and it's probably fairly soon, I think I'm going to be alive when it happens, that it's not a wave that's coming. It's a tsunami. If you've ever seen a tsunami, doesn't look like a wave. The tide just rises and rises and rises. And it keeps rising. And it sweeps up everybody and everything in its way. It doesn't discriminate between those who want to go in the water and those who don't want to go in the water at all. It just comes and it consumes and it overwhelms everything and everybody. And I think that's going to happen. I think it is coming. And I think there are indicators that it's coming. So when it comes, enjoy it. I was at a conference this weekend, a retreat, and I have this horrible thing that happens to me that I finally just recognized recently that, you know, like some people, the Spirit of God's on them, and they, you know, they kind of tremble, you know, or they, you know, they fall down or whatever, and then I've realized I have this thing where I weep uncontrollably. I make obscene sounds in public, and I have no intention of doing any of it, and it just makes me shut up. And I just am like, I'm like trying not to cry, and that makes it worse. You know, it's just ugly. But I mean, I realized that I'm going to be alive for two of these. I was alive when it happened 40 years ago. And that stone dropped in the pond, and the ripples have gone out, and they continue to go out throughout the earth to this day. But there's another stone about to drop, and it's bigger. And all those ripples are going to go out. It doesn't matter if you're Presbyterian. It doesn't matter if you're in the wine bar or in the church. It's a tsunami. And so a tsunami just is indiscriminate and just washes over. And you know, that's so much a picture of God. So how does God give to us? Poured out, overflowing. He's a very, very wasteful God. He's not a good steward at all. Because you ever read about the feeding of the 5,000? And we get this theology. He'll only give us as much as we need. Have you read the Bible? He does it above and beyond all that we can ask or think. So he has a little piece of fish and a little piece of bread, and at the end they pick up 12 baskets full, more than they even needed. And when his Spirit's poured out, it'll be more than we even can comprehend or need, and it's going to happen. But we need to be quiet. We need to turn off the noise. I don't know what it is for you. A friend of mine here was on Facebook, and said that she's going to go off Facebook for a while. And so I said, good call. You know, I responded. And then I couldn't read her response because she went off Facebook. So, dang it. But that could be the noise. And there's a lot of chatter and a lot of noise, and there's a lot of circular arguments. I mean, people argue about things they're not going to resolve because they don't have any intention for resolving it. But you know who resolves everything? Jesus. The Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. And this text was written to a church. People that knew Jesus, who had experienced the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, don't be distracted by the exotic. Don't be distracted by arguments. Don't be distracted and intimidated by people who preach against Jesus. You know the truth. You know the truth. You know the truth. So you embrace it and you walk in it. And you do it in season and out season. I'm writing a book, and it's almost finished. I'll be done this week, and then, I think it's the Lord, you know. And so there's been all of a sudden a wave of warfare of things happening that are really distracting, really distressing for me. But it's so obvious to me what it is that I've chosen to ignore it, you know. And yet, yet not ignore it. As this week started, I got a public rebuke from somebody that basically is saying, you know, you don't have any right to write this book. And anybody who backs this book is going to lose their credibility. And so it was an ugly attack. And then I got a call Thursday night from my son, my youngest son, Carlton. And he was really tender and really loving. And he shared with me how much he missed me and how much he wanted to be closer to me and how much he wanted to see me and be with me. And he was crying. And it was really tender and it was really sweet. But I woke up in the morning and so I called his mother. What's wrong with Carlton? Because that's not his normal behavior. What's going on? So I found out that he's in an ugly situation, a very ugly situation. And his mother had to commit him on Friday to a psych ward to be observed on suicide watch. Most of you know how much I love my babies. And, you know, they're not little babies anymore. They're big old people. And they're rude and they're all kinds of other things. But so he's still in the hospital now, and I'll find out today a little bit more what's going on. And so, you know, there's that going on. My son is in a psych ward, and people are attacking me. And at the same time, I'm going to a worship leader's retreat, at which layer after layer after layer of stuff is being torn off, and Jesus is showing himself true. He's showing himself. He's showing me that he's the truth. And I'm seeing him in a greater, more clear light than ever before in 52 years. Because he chooses to reveal himself. And that's why when 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, I have not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And then it says, the deep things of God we know by his Spirit. His Spirit shows us all things. So we need to listen. We need to try to hear from God because we can. So first of all, decide that you can. Second of all, turn off the noise. And third of all, start listening for him. You know what? I'll give you a little hint. Sometimes he speaks very clearly and very loud and very bold. And you have no doubt about it. But many, many, many times, it's a still, small voice. It's a whisper. It's like a feather landing on your arm. So you've got to be paying attention. Or you miss it. Yeah. But he wants to speak. And he does speak. But he speaks to all of us, and he'll confirm his word. Here's something that we learned about last year, the prophetic group. We had some people in that shared with us, and there was some of you shared that your revelator, the revelation, you know, your revelator is close to in your mind to your imaginator. That's one of the best things I've ever heard, that sometimes we imagine it's the Lord, and it's not the Lord. It's just us. It's our desires. It's our interests. And that's why we have to talk to each other. That's why we have to communicate with one. That's why we have to gather together and speak the word of the Lord to one another and test the word of God with one another and weigh the word of God with each other because it confirms it. It makes it real in our lives. For some reason, I was thinking this week about something, and I thought there are no individual clouds in heaven. There are no clouds where you can go off by yourself. Heaven isn't about being by yourself. Yeah, it's about being together with the host of heaven, worshiping and say, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. And that's my final point. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to you. And he continues to reveal Jesus to you. In heaven, that's who's worshiped. In heaven, that's whose crown, whose feet are, the crowns are thrown at. The Holy Spirit's job is not to make you make known the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job to make is to make known the Son. Okay? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Father and the Holy Spirit work to glorify the Son, to give him all the credit and all the glory. That's the other way that you'll know if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, is that he reveals Jesus. He makes Jesus known. I look so forward to Easter because I think it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity in which we can exploit people. You like that? People go to church on Christmas and Easter. And so exploit it. Because they're going to get wet if they come. They're going to get wet. They're not going to be able to keep their distance because Jesus, I mean, like this morning, was Jesus in the room? Were you like aware of that? Like one song into it and like, oh my gosh, we can't move. Something's happening here. What's the weight of his glory in his presence here among us? And so you have anointing from the Holy One. You know why God gives us each other? To help each other to know whether it's God. You know why God gives you pastors and teachers? So they can say, I don't think so. I have lots of people go, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that. And I go, yeah, I don't think so. Because it's pretty much not what the Bible says. It's pretty much not what he's ever said before. So if he's, you know what, this thing with, and we're very sensitive to it, we all are. This thing of people leaving church in droves and separating, just doing their own thing. Nobody's doing that based on what the Word of God says. They have human reasons, and they all make sense. But none of them make sense with the Bible. The Bible says we're to do this together. And doing it together makes it really a pain in the butt. Because none of us gets to do just what we want to do. But all of us are called to do what he wants to do. So we're in a season, I think we're entering it more, where the Holy Spirit wants his church back. I'll say this one last thing. Years ago, I was with, well, many times with John Wimber, but there was a time that it was so clear that he was so yielded to the Lord that there'd be things that would happen and be like, what's that? Like one time, like a dozen people in this big meeting prophesied, you know, just yelling out, and it went on and on, and I thought, good night. I thought John fell asleep. And so then all of a sudden, this word, Scottish lady began to speak, and it was profound. It was awesome. And the whole place fell apart. And then John and I were walking off the stage, and I go, what was that? He goes, what? What was what? I said, all those people prophesying. He goes, I only heard one. Do you get that? There was only one prophecy. A lot of people were talking. And let me tell you this. There are a lot of people talking. There are a lot of people saying, thus saith the Lord. But you know the truth. You know the Holy One. Weigh things. Measure things. Count things. You know, just be open to God correcting things. And it may mean you go, oh, I don't like that. That's okay, not like that. You're not obligated to like everything. You're not obligated to listen to everything that somebody says, prefaces with the Lord said. If it doesn't resonate with your heart, with your truth. And this is so dangerous, right? Because so many people can say, well, the Lord told me. Well, if you're connected with a bunch of other people and they're not resonating with it, there's probably an adjustment that needs to be made. And that's okay. We have room for that. So this morning, we're going to take communion as a family, and we're going to serve communion. So, boys, get back up here. I'm trying to see where this communion here, and then this communion over there, this communion back there. And so, as we're worshiping, I'm going to pray that he'll pour it out. Okay? And it may be difficult for you, after communion is served to you, it may be difficult for you to get out of here. But you have to get out of here. And because God's not just in this room. He's right outside that door. He's right around the corner. He's right around the other corner. So he's here. He's here. He's present everywhere. We just have to open our ears and open our eyes and say yes. Amen?
Amen.
So as we worship, dismiss yourself to the communion in an orderly fashion, whatever that means. Because I don't know what that means. Because we really didn't think this through. it was actually Don's responsibility. And he kind of shirked it. But we're a loving community, and we forgive those with faults. Amen?
Amen.
So turn off the noise this week. Shut it out. Tune into him. Amen?
With all of my
At your feet, pouring it out for you, and all that you are, and all that you've done, I will worship you all of my life, down at your feet. Jesus.